Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, fun seekers, a very pleasant good morning to you. This is Patrick Timpone and OneRadioNetwork.com. How you doing? You good? Yeah? Yeah. Yeah, looking good. We're going to have fun this morning. Sorry, we got a little bit, late. Had a mission control. Had something going on, so we couldn't stream out in the audio. But we always have a lot of people listening on audio and a few people on video. It's funny. It's like people, you know, so many people prefer the audio. I guess you can listen in your headset with an earphone, and I don't know how all that stuff works, but whoever you can listen, it's just great. But then a few people watch on video, and then we go up and bit shoot and do all that thing. But anyway, never mind. It's September 17th, and we are live here a few minutes after 10 o'clock, about 25 minutes after 10, actually. Wow, time flies when you're having fun. And we're going to have fun this morning. The title for our show, that you may have seen the slide if you are watching on video, is The Truth Will Set You Free. Baby, the truth will set you free. And what we put on the front page, what Sharon put on the front page, is even more to the point, is the truth will set you free. You are the truth. Poof. You're free. There's just no second cause of anything. We are the first cause. So we're going to talk about that today, and invite you to join in the conversation if they are so inclined. And you can do that two ways. Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com is email address, obviously. And for you telephonics, you can dial 888-663-6386. 888-663-6386. Let's get the microphone there in a good spot. How's my light? Okay. All right. Been out in the sun lately. I love the sun. I love the sun even more after talking with Santos Bonacci, who we've been streaming. Folks really like his stuff, and I'm going to go in and this weekend and get that clip and play it and help us to promote our hydrogen machine, because he said the sun is just one big ball of hydrogen. Think about that. It's not really a solid thing. But I guess the sunspots and all that are still real, because you can see, they can see them with these lenses. You know, the sunspot guys. They can see them. And the sunspots do have a lot of influence on the weather. This is what the Old Farmer's Almanac has used to predict the weather since the beginning of, I think, back into the 1800s. And they're pretty accurate. And that's why they're accurate. They use sunspots. And sunspots are just different energetic things, as I understand, of the hydrogen and the gas and the heat coming out. And that affects all kinds of things. And think about this, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. NASA says, I mean, go on, you know, just Google it, or DuckDuckGo it. NASA says the sun is 93 million miles away. And they say it's so big that the reason you can have a total eclipse of the sun, and they're exactly opposite, and they fit, right? You've seen it. We've seen it in the movies or whatever. And the sun is so far away that here, they just make it up. You think you could really have a photograph or some kind of a way to look at the sunspots if it were 93 million miles away? I don't even think I can do it on the calculator. 93 million. And maybe you can. Times 5,000 feet. I'll just round it off to 5,000. No, it's just like billions, you know. What's so interesting about this whole idea of an unmovable, firm Earth that we've been looking at for the last, how long has it been? I don't even know. You know me, I don't do time, so I could probably look back in the shows. Sometimes I look back in the shows and see when we talked about something, so I know how long it's been, because it doesn't even matter. But anyway, let's do it for fun. So I got my calculator, my big calculator, 93 million. Whoops, I got too many zeros there. So 93 zero 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 zero, right? 93, yeah, times 5,280 feet equals 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, 9. Would that be billion, right? Yeah, that'd be billion. 491 billion feet. A billion is 1,000 million. So they say, NASA says the sun is 491 billion feet away. And do you really think any kind of a thing from here on Earth could look and see the sunspots? Well, they can. I mean, they do. Some of the weather places do, right? You see, the more you look at it, the more sense it makes, the more, whatever, that the Earth is not a spinning ball. And the more you look at it, and the more evidence you see that it's not, and the same evidence that they have is that painting of Earth. No picture. A painting. You know, and this whole thing about Hubble, I don't even think, I'm really getting tinfoil hatting now, I don't even think that this Hubble thing exists. Because the only picture they show you from Hubble are computer-generated images. They don't show any real stuff, because we've seen the difference between the real stuff, right, with a Nikon 950 of Venus, and we've showed you those videos. I can show them again, and they're just nothing like, I mean, the stars are just poof, 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 fairy dust. They're just sound and light and God and mojo and the planets. I mean, they're just magical, which is why, you know, when Mercury goes retrograde and they do all these silly things, they actually can have effect on us, and why the whole astrology thing works even more so now, because they're not just some dead rock floating around at random, like they say. They're energetic beings. They are souls. They are, I mean, in the ancient times, or long ago, there were gods. They named these planets after the gods, Pluto and Sirius, and star. Sirius is a star. Whatever, Venus, and you know, they're like gods, because we knew for thousands and thousands of years that we were connected to these guys, right? And they were part of us, and we were part of them. And we are. I mean, it's not New Age kind of whoop-de-doop. I mean, we are. We're part of everything. The birds and the bees and flowers and the trees and squirrels and I don't know, just everything. Show me anything that is not of spirit. You know, show me anything, the leaves, whatever. So we know the stars are in the sun and the moon. We know that they're living beings. No wonder people go crackers when we get a full moon. My mom used to say that when she was at the hospital, and well, with seven kids, there was probably a few times she was in the hospital around full moon time, and then the nurses would all talk about, oh, it's going to be a full moon this weekend, we're going to be busy. A lot of babies come out at the full moon for some reason. So great, huh? I'm just so excited about being on planet Earth these days. I just tell, I tell you what, it's just so much fun digging into seeing what the truth is about life and who we are. And as you know, this is really all I think about, because that's the only thing for me that matters, is who we are, why we are. And the other part that was missing before I start watching all the videos 6 days, where we are. I mean, I didn't give much thought, except over the years people would email me thing about flat earth, and I'd say, well, I don't think, I mean, I just didn't give it any juice at all. Like, I just poo-pooed it, like most people are doing it now, and just what I did, because I don't know, I thought it was wrong. I just figured, I mean, I actually, in the past, had said something like, I'm so many revolutions around the sun, like Adam and I used to talk about. Now, there's no way I'll say that again, because I'm not. It just ain't. It just isn't so. What are you going to do, you know? What are you going to do, Mr. Blue? Somebody just sent me, I'll get this up during the show. Somebody sent to me an interview with Buzz Aldrin on Conan, where he actually says they didn't go to the moon. Yeah, well, we didn't know. We know they didn't go, which is really important, not just because they lied to us, I mean, but because in my research, after Admiral Byrd went down to the Arctic Ocean to look around, he was a real deal. And he was on a TV show in the 1950s, and that video was part of the Lost History and What Really Happened videos that we'll send you if you email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Anyway, he went down there, and he went all the way to the edge. He went all the way to the edge of the Earth, because the Arctic Ocean is actually surrounding the Earth. The Earth is on a flat plane, and the Arctic Antarctica is not the North Pole, South Pole. It's surrounding this plane. And it goes up about 300 feet at first, and then it goes up 2 miles, according to Byrd. And then after that, he thought about 300 miles of just ice. And so you have to imagine, this is not just one spot. This is completely circling this flat plain we live on. And he said that there was probably, and they did some tests and stuff, all the natural resources that Earth, as he would ever need forever. Coal and oil and uranium and rare earth minerals and just everything. It was just there. And then he suspected, and he was assuming, with everything his geological stuff he looked at, that there was just a whole lot of stuff on the other side of this 300-mile thing of ice. Could go on forever. We don't know how big the Earth is. We think it's just what they've shown us, you know, on these maps. That, by the way, the map that they use now at the UN and the USGS, which is the United States Geological Service, is the same map that was made by a flat earther dude in 1800 or something. That's the map they use. Check it out. The USGS. This is the number one map place in the world, right? The United States Geological Survey. That's the map they use. You can even actually see it on Wiki, but they don't make the link back and forth because they don't want you to know that that's what they use. And then, of course, the UN has the flat Earth kind of map thing. That's their logo, which is pretty trippy, right? So after, the story goes, after Byrd, Admiral Byrd, God love him, went down there and he went on TV and really spilled the beans, this is true, they created NASA. There were countries snooping around down there like he was, saying, what's down here? I mean, maybe there's some gold in them there hills, you know? And Admiral Byrd said people are starting to look down there, Russia, and he named a few countries. And I think this was in 55. This was a TV show, if you can believe it. Kind of like one of these Meet the Press shows. And they were asking some good questions. And he was very, very forthcoming. I mean, he was a military guy. They made him an admiral after he did all this. So they invented NASA then. That's when it was created. And NASA was created, so the story goes, by globalists, Freemason kind of Illuminati types, because they didn't want folks to know about the way the Earth was, and that evidently a lot of them are just figuring it out as well. And they wanted to protect the stuff that Byrd found for themselves. All the resources and all of that stuff. Which makes perfect sense. And how it ties in today. I mean, if you had all the rare earth minerals in the world, or in the world, you know, I don't even know what that term means anymore. If you had all the rare earth minerals that you would need forever, and that's what these things that go into batteries and cell phones and hybrid cars and solar, the rare earth minerals. That's what Afghanistan, in my opinion, has been all about, are the rare earth minerals. And that's why Russia went in there 20 years ago and they kicked them out, and why eventually the United States just left, because you can't win when you're fighting people who live in the country and live up in the mountains, and they know where everything is, and you just can't beat them. And Russia couldn't beat them. There's a word for that. Richard Mayberry uses in his books, there's a word for these kinds of people, not coming to me right now. But anyway, when you have people up there who know every nook and cranny of the country, you're not gonna defeat them, you know. And they all have guns and stuff. You're just not gonna do it. The only way you would do it is flatten the whole place with a nuke, and which I don't think they have nukes, but flatten the whole place, and then you wouldn't be able to get the stuff because it would be a total disaster, and you couldn't sell that to the American people. Oh, we flattened the whole country because we just wanted to kill everybody. You just can't sell that. So anyway, if everybody knew that all of these minerals were down there in the Arctic, and we don't, then that would, you know, and that would make it more difficult to do these wars. You'd have to have, you know, the whole military thing. Well, what are we going in there for? Man, it's crazy. Crazy, amazing. This is OneRadioNetwork.com, Patrick Timpone, September 17th, 2021. If you'd like to be on the show, Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com, 888-663-6386. And then after NASA came in, right, after NASA came in and they started this organization, today they're getting nearly $30 billion a year. My opinion is just a way to launder money, similar to the military, just a slush fund. We don't have any idea where the money goes. $30 billion to have a fake space station, which we know it's fake. It's been proven. No space station. $30 billion to do what? To put up paintings of planets, and they claim they have Hubble. I don't even think they have it. $30 billion to do what? You know, they could be laundering, I don't know, you know, drug money, and who knows. And then military does the same thing. It's $800 billion a year? $800 billion a year. Nobody knows where the money goes. How many people work for the Pentagon? Somebody wants a DuckDuckGo? I'd like to. Or just put, how many, somebody would you like to search and send it to me? How many people work for the Department of Defense? I guess that would include the Pentagon, right? I don't know. What do they do? I mean, come on. You know how much money could be laundered and lost and stolen and hid there? You know, the $100 toilet seats and, you know, $20, $50 hammers and all that stuff. You know, we've heard the stories over the years. And then the day before 9/11, Rumsfeld, he comes out, and you could probably find the video, saying that they've got $2 trillion that were given to the Defense Department that they can't account for. Check it out. You can find the video. $2 trillion. But then 9/11 happened the next day, and everybody forgot about it. You think he knew that 9/11 was going to happen by making this announcement? Because he got clean then, right? Oh, I told you guys. I don't know, man. I told you. I was looking for it. I just couldn't find it. These guys are good. So they create NASA to convince everybody that the world is round. Now, they started this long ago with globes and, you know, the schools and the 1800, you know, everything. So these people were at it. But after Byrd went down there and kind of was going to uncover this whole thing, they had to kick up the game a little bit. So they had to create the moon landing so they could then create pictures of the round Earth. See, if you don't go out into space, which doesn't exist, then you can't have a picture of the Earth, this marble rising, you know, the classic shot. It's all a painting. It's not a picture. You can't have it because you got to convince people that you went out into space. Now, you can't go on it in space because there's a firmament. Every culture in the world talks about it. There's a firmament that's about 100 miles. It's like a dome, and there's an actual glass ceiling, if you will. You like that term? A glass ceiling that you can't get out. Some say that the stars are attached to the firmament. Some are not. Some say that there's holes in the firmament and there's light coming in, but there's also water above the firmament. The Bible and other places talk about the water above and below. A lot of cool stuff going on that we don't quite know all the answers to, but it's not like we've been told. And without NASA, you wouldn't have these pictures made up, but you wouldn't have them. Which is why 99% of the people on the planet Earth, on Earth plane today, see, I don't even say the term planet plane, that the Earth plane today believe that we're spinning around and all that heliocentric nonsense, which is just nonsense. It just ain't so. like to be on the show, 888-663-6386, email patrick1radionetwork.com. We got a lot to talk about today. We're going to have some fun. Stick around. I'm going to play a little clip. And, NASA, the whole essence of NASA, their whole credibility is tied into the alleged moon landing in 1969, June of 1969. We're going to show you a little video from Eric Dubé, one of the all-time flat earthers. He's probably one of the smartest guys out there on it, about the moon landing and why it didn't happen, why it couldn't have happened, and why the way they say it did. So, we're gonna continue here. Let me tell you about, maybe I can encourage you to buy one of these guys. This is how we make a living, is we, so if you buy one of these, we get a commission, and that's good for us. I'll be very honest about it. I mean, but it's not like I would just like to sell you something, because the commissions are how we make a living. That would be pretty stupid. You know me, I don't do that, because this is a good deal. And this is great stuff. This is the AquaCure machine, and it produces Brown's gas, which is a leveraged form of molecular hydrogen that people are using mostly, mostly in Japan and China. And you can go to Molecular Hydrogen Institute and see peer-reviewed studies on how they're using it for cancer. They're using it for, we're not making any claims that this will cure cancer. Trust me, we don't do that. We don't do that. This will help your body to get stronger, and is an antioxidant, and the no telling what it can do. One of the biggest antioxidants ever. And now that we know that the sun is completely hydrogen, who knows the good stuff that happens when you breathe this pumpkin, like I do every day. I do. And you can drink the water and give Doodle the water, your puppies the water. And you can get one, a couple grand, and a 10% discount. Here's George talking about, I think, hydrogen and actually hydration, I think. George, he makes this machine.
Lenny?
Oh, no. And you live where, Lenny? Oh, I'm sorry.
We RV in our mobile home. And so, listening to your commercial, and I got the AquaCure. And man, I love that thing so incredibly much. In fact, I wrote to you right when I got it. That was July last year. And you're absolutely correct about the hydration when you don't drink as much water. And he had mentioned that, too. You know, that happened to him, that he was drinking more water when he didn't do it. And I noticed that, too. And I came to that same realization that you did. It's like, wait, why am I feel more thirsty.
Yeah, really interesting. Mine was due for a cleaning where you have to empty it and everything, and I just procrastinated and didn't do it for a couple of days. And I was just drinking the regular structured water, and I was drinking a lot more water. And I really thought, wow, that hydrogen-enriched water must hydrate me so much, because I don't need to drink as much water. This is really cool technology. Hydration is just one of the many things it'll do. Check it out. Lifetime warranty. 1 year, no questions asked, money back. Guarantee if you don't like it, up to a year. Use promo code 1RADIO for a 10% discount. The AquaCure Hydrogen Brown's Gas Machine. You breathe it and you bubble it in the water on 1RADIONetwork.com. And what's cool about it is that there's a lifetime, no questions asked, money back. No, that's not right. Lifetime warranty on the unit. Lifetime warranty. Lifetime warranty. And then there's a 1 year.
Let's talk about this, because this is fascinating.
I was just
trying.
Let's talk
about this.
Yeah. No, we're not going to talk about it yet. So anyway, there's a 1 year, no questions asked, money back thingy. You know, those thingies. Where you can just send it back if you don't like it, which is pretty cool. I mean, how many contraptions or units or technologies have you heard, right? So that's pretty cool. So check it out, promo code 1RADIO, and you get yourself the AquaCure machine. And very easy to take care of, very easy. You just put in distilled water, and you rock and roll. I don't have a I don't use my distiller any longer. You know, I don't have a need to. I just buy it at the store. You know, the bottles, and that's how you make the water if you want. We don't do it all the time. I don't drink the water all the time, but I drink it as much as I think breathing the gas is really where most of the action is. But George says do both. It depends on what you want to do. Have you ever tried our pine pollen, baby? Previously with Daniel Vitalis, we were talking about, pine pollen.
Pollen is essentially the equivalent of what an animal would have as sperm. Pollen is like the male part, the semen, and it fertilizes the ovum of the flower, which becomes eventually a fruit. And so if we were going to draw the equivalence, it would be like that the flower is like the female sex organ and the pollen is like the male sexual ejaculate. Well, pine trees, which sort of just dominate so much of the landscape of North America and so much of the world, pine trees, they're semen. They dust the landscape in pollen. And that pollen, being the sort of male part of the plant, has some correspondences to male physiology in our species and many other animal species. So what I'm saying is pine pollen contains all of these different anabolic or androgenic hormones, plant versions of hormones that we need, like testosterone, like DHEA.
Well, the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees, good stuff, guys, and for you girls, too. Several choices of pine pollen, and Easter Thrival Link, OneRadioNetwork.com.
Know the source on One Radio Network.
Good morning. It is the 17th of September, and we're live here. A few minutes before 11 o'clock, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. OneRadioNetwork.com. 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. I want to do a little plug here for a friend of mine. And this may be something that you would enjoy or need or want or whatever the term is. There's a lady in Blanco, and she's a really cool, kind of a great hippie gal, couple kids, and she sold sunflower sprouts at the farmer's market, and we got to know each other, and just really fun to talk to, and you know, one of us kind of gals, and she sent me an email 3, 4, 5 days ago, and I talked to her, and her name is escaping me at the moment. You know, I don't keep these things in my, but I'll find it. But anyway, Casey, Casey. And she's in Blanco, which is not far from here. And she has several puppies that she'd like to find some really cool people to have one. I think she's got a couple boys and a girl maybe left. And I think they're about 8 weeks old. And they're really beautiful and quite special because of her upbringing. Raw food and no vaccines, which is pretty cool. So if you've been interested in getting yourself a pup, I think one of these would be a great best friend for years to come. They're very loyal. They're Texas Heelers. And what's really interesting about them is they're, other than loyal, they're quite comfortable with staying very close to you. They're not wanderers at all. So if you have a little bit of land or none or no fence, you could easily train them to stick around your house, because they just do that, because their whole mission in life is to get the cows and you know, keep them together, keep them on the property. So they really are territorial, but very smart, very intelligent dogs. And I was real close to getting one to have another one with Doodle. Really close, but it just is not the right time for me. Otherwise, I would get one. I have some really fun, interesting, very exciting things going on in my personal life that for me, just to pick up another child is not the right time. So I'm passing on it, but I told her that I would mention to you. So if you live in Dallas and Houston, Louisiana, I'm anywhere really, even a day's drive to pick up a really wonderful, cute, lovely dog. I think she wants $300 for them, which is nothing these days. They're selling doodles for $1,500. Crazy. Anyway, but I think this would be a great dog, especially if you're on any kind of land or something. It'd be wonderful to have a dog that'll stick around the house, you know, without fencing, as I train Doodle to do. But they'll do it. They're very good at that. I mean, I can't guarantee it, but that's what the people I talk to about it. And she says they're very, very intelligent. She takes all the puppies for walks, and they all stay right together, you know. So if it's something that you're interested in, just email me. Her name is Casey, and I will hook you up with her. Just email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. I mean, hey, you could, no matter where you live, if within a day's drive of Blanco, it's a great place to visit. You and your significant other, or you by yourself, could drive down and pick one up and take them home. And so it's not often you get a chance to get an unvaccinated, raw, kind of healthy, real healthy dog. In my opinion, and just in my opinion, a dog like this, a pup like this, if you don't vax them up and just give them meat, raw food, and doctor, you could do Dr. Broderick's cornucopia food. It's not raw, but it's all organic. You wouldn't even have to go anywhere near a vet unless they, you know, broke a leg or something, which, you know. Because vets are all about fixing a bad diet. That's what it's about. That's all it's about. People are giving these dogs, there's all this commercial food, and you don't even think about where it comes from, and it's just terrible. And they just get sick. There's no doubt about it. And they give them a lot of vaccines. And then you do that, and, well, spend a lot of money at the vet trying to, they get cancer, all kinds of stuff. It's terrible. But the vets don't know, you know, they're just like MDs. They're in vet school, they're just taught to do vet stuff. That's what they're taught. And it's a shame, but it's the way it is. But you don't have to do that. Nope, you don't have to do it. So her name is Casey, and these are Texas Healers. And I'm not sure how long, you know, these pups are going to be available. I think she's got three left. So I don't know when you're watching this. I'm telling you here on September 17th, they could be, this thing is driving me crazy, man. Wish I wouldn't even need it, but okay, it's better like this. Anyway, so I'm not sure when you're watching this, but you can email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com, and we'll hook you up. So I want to play this. This is kind of fun. So Buzz Aldrin was, I don't think he was the guy allegedly, nobody landed on the moon, but Buzz was not, I think he was one of the three that supposedly went to the moon, right? In 1969, as the story goes. And somebody sent me this morning, strangely enough. I didn't even know this existed. But this is, I'm not sure when it was, but it was with Conan O'Brien. I guess he's some talk show dude. I've heard his name, but I've never seen him. But here's Buzz talking with Conan about the alleged moon landing. Check this out.
Fascinating. I remember very clearly, I think anybody who was alive at the time does. I remember my parents waking me up and we went down and we watched you guys land on the moon.
No,
which
you didn't.
Was,
no, you didn't.
What?
Because there wasn't any television. There wasn't anybody taking a picture. You watched animation. See, you associated what you saw with...
I have very hazy memories.
Yeah, I know.
Well, no, but what we saw was we all were gathered around
heard,
the old curved top radio
me
and listened.
Talking about... you know, how many feet we were going to the left and right, and then I said, contact light, engine stop.
It was
and
exciting.
A few other things, and then Neil said, Houston, Tranquility Base, the Eagle has landed. Man, how about that?
That was very exciting.
Not a bad line.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, Conan was so brain dead, he didn't even go into what the guy said. It was an animation. We didn't go there, dude. And Conan was so, it was very exciting. Let me see that again. I don't think we can play it again. If I knew how to do it. You heard it. So I'm going to play this. So this is pretty interesting. And the reason why it's important is because the whole premise and the whole space and the whole everything that these people are selling is all tied into NASA. Without NASA, they got nothing. They've got nothing. It's all without NASA, without the moon landing, the whole thing doesn't work. It's just like the real key. This is from Phil. I listened to your interview with Santos Bonacci. Maybe I'm wrong, but I sensed quite a bit of anger and hate coming from him. I personally feel like the wisest people are those that are the most humble and those that admit they know nothing. It's just my humble opinion, but I didn't get this vibe from Santos' interview. I was actually hoping you might push back on him a bit more than you did to question that anger that he was projecting towards those that might not be on the path of certain truths yet, flat earth and astrology and stuff like that. This is a good to know that it's good to know, but it can become an attachment just like anything else. Okay. Oh, sorry. I lost the audio. I'm back. Thank you, Lynn. Whew. Yeah, when I do this, sometimes it switches off. So thanks for telling me. Okay, I'm back here. Sorry, we are back. But you heard the Conan O'Brien thing, right? Okay. So let me read this again. I listened to your interview with Santos Bonacci. Maybe I'm wrong, but I sensed quite a bit of, thanks Lynn, sensed quite a bit of anger and hate. I don't know about hate coming from him. I mean, he was a little feisty. I personally feel like the wisest people are those that are the most humble and those that admit they know nothing. Agree. It's just my humble opinion, but I didn't get this vibe from him in the Santos interview. I was actually hoping you might push back on him a bit more than you did to question that again, that anger he was projecting. It's not my job to do that. I mean, flat earth and stuff is great in astrology, but it can become an attachment just like anything else. Well, you know, I obviously he's really feisty, and he was talking to people that believed in the thing as being stupid, and he was really out. This is his whole life. This is what he does. And you have to remember, and you don't have to, that he's completely, constantly being barraged with being censored and being, emails from the Flat Earth Society, which is controlled opposition, saying that he is crazy and stupid and, you know, how can the Earth is not flat and all of this. And I guess you can build up a certain amount of attachment to your views, but, you know, he just really believes that this is why he's here. I mean, I did question him quite a bit on the idea of why do you think it's our job to push back on these people like the Illuminati and the, you know, the folks, the pedophiles and these people to, because I question that. And he was very clear that he didn't think it was his job, but he believes it's important as his allegory was that bad apples can spoil the whole bunch when they're hanging out and all of that. You know, it's not my way to be, but that's his way, and it doesn't mean, you know, but I appreciate your email. I hear what you're saying, Phil, but everything is what it is, and you are what you are, and he is what he is, and I am what I am, and so that's it. It doesn't really matter. There's no right or wrong way. Everybody gets to do what they want and be who they are, right? I don't think, in my opinion, it doesn't lessen his credibility any at all, because we're all learning. You know, he may learn or get to the point someday that maybe I shouldn't be so feisty over people that don't get it, but some people do. But that's their path. And, you know, there's quite a bit of talk in the different ancient texts about coming as warriors. There is. Even in the, you know, the book that I read, one of my ancient texts, the Shariat Ki Sugmad, talking about coming as warriors and defending ourselves against the lower forces, the Kal Niranjan, that's the dude. There's plenty of, you know, you can read it in the Bible. So there's, you know, there's not a lot of, there's many arguments on many sides. It wasn't Jesus's path, you know. He was a very peaceful kind of dude, but that was just him, and, you know, it was just his way. We're all sons of God. He wasn't the only son of God. That's just a myth, sorry. So, you know, he was just a spiritual teacher, still is to many people, and he has his way, and he has his path, and you can join him and be his path, and you can think whatever you want about the path. You can think that if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to go to hell. Good for you. That's not true, but you can think that. Or, you know, you can think whatever you want. And your way is the perfect way, because the truth will set you free. And then you get to experience whatever that is. And nobody should ever try to stop you or change you. I won't. I'm the last guy that's going to do that. But it's just your way. It's your path. It's your truth. And the truth will set you free, because you are the truth. And if it sets you free, good for you. Right? When you leave this body and you really believe in Jesus and believe there's a heaven like Jesus, whatever, I'm sure you're going to experience that. You absolutely will. And then you get to experience it. And how long you stay there is up to you and Jesus. And is there more? Well, you're going to find out. That's just the way it is. We are our own truth. We're the only truth there is. And there's no second cause. And that was really the key thing to our show today. There is no second cause other than you and I. In other words, there's absolutely nothing out there. Nothing. No energy, no force, no God, no nothing that is a first cause. You are the first cause, meaning everything in your reality is caused by you and me. Everything. Nothing happens by accident. On Earth, where this is a law, as Santos talked about, this is a planet of karma, a plane of karma. And that's what's controlling everything, our karma, everything. So every experience that you and I have is just our karma. And we are the cause of it. Spirit, divine spirit, is the juice, but we, using our mind and our heart and our energy and our focus, we create everything. And it's all illusion. It's all just a dream. But so we get to dream whatever we want. So the truth is us. There is no truth other outside of us. There is no God, in my opinion, outside of us. We are part of it. It is part of us. And it's not just making things happen because we're good. That, in my opinion, is the big lie. Or making things happen because we're bad. The other big lie. Just a lie. There's no entity outside of yourself and myself that are judging us. You think God judges you? Does Jesus judge you? What did he say? Judge ye not, or you shall. Yeah, I think. The only people that have been judging you are the religions that came up from the work of Jesus and Buddha and all that. And it's all crap. It's all religious idea, sin, all that. Just made up. The only person that's going to give you a hard time for whatever you do, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, is you, nobody else. You could go out and machine gun somebody and land in jail, and guess what? Whatever God is still loves you. You got to deal with, you know, shooting somebody, which we don't recommend, but God still loves you. Never stopped. Never stopped. Because God is love. That's what it is. It's just love. So it's going to say, well, George, I mean, you're really stupid for shooting somebody, so you got to be miserable. No. Sure, hanging in jail the rest of your life is not fun, but then don't shoot anybody, man. So you are the truth will set you free. Once you understand that you're the truth, and I'm the truth from my life, then we're free, poof. Nobody can stop you from doing anything. Now there are gonna be forces that have since the beginning of time want to stop you from doing this and that, and now maybe try to get you vaxxed up and all that, but we have technologies and there's things happening that, you know, this thing is all falling apart. By the way, this is Patrick Timpone, and we're live here. If you'd like to join the show, 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Speaking of the vax thing, next Wednesday, we're going to have Charlie Sewell back on. You know, remember the fellow that did all the research using the documents that hundreds of you sent to me for with the oath of office? He has a really well-done, well-thought-out, one-page document for a religious exemption from these vaccines. And he's got Supreme Court cases, Declaration of Independence. He had a whole team working on this for 2 or 3 weeks. Every word is poof. He'll be on the show Wednesday. And then after that, we're going to go through each line by line so you understand it. It's only one page. And then we'll send it to you. So if anybody wants to mess around with your vaccinations, we think, you know, you never know that this thing is going to stop them in their tracks. Because you start really proving that it is your original, your religion, your right not to violate your religion, which is living, God, being free, the Declaration of Independence, that's your religion. That's what the founders said. Supreme Court have said twice, 2 or 3 times. They can't do it. You know, and Tom Luongo said something that I thought was really good, and we're streaming his show. He suggested that if anybody wants to force you to take this vax, don't quit. Don't quit. You know, you can give them a document, religious exemption, or whatever you want to do. Lots of ways to do it. We think this will be a good one to use, but you could use your own. And if they don't accept it, see, because once again, once you give them something, it's just an offer. They offer you, well, you really need to get vaxxed or you can't stay in college, or you really need to get vaxxed, you can't work here at Boeing or whatever. That's an offer. You say, great, thanks, here's my offer. Here's my offer back to you. My counter offer is I can't do that because of my religion and my relationship with God. And then it's up to them to say, well, we don't care about your offer. We're going to give you back the original offer. You just got to do it or you can't work here. And you can go back and say, well, check this out again. How many ever times you want to do it? And then they may come back and say, no, you're done because you just got to quit or get vaxxed. And then you're not saying, well, I'm not going to quit. You got to fire me. That's important. Make them fire you. Make them dismiss you. That's their offer. And your next offer could be anything. You could sue them. You could get all your money back from every year you've been to college because they cut you off. Who knows? That'd be cool, right? You're a junior and you got to leave just because they don't want you to be here without being vaxxed and you quit. or they fire you, take them to court and tell them you want all your money back, plus pain and suffering. You got to make them pay for this stuff if you want to do it. You can. You paid the money. Hey, you kicked me out. I didn't do anything wrong. So don't quit. You know, let them make them fire you. Plus, then if they fire you, then you could get unemployment and all kinds of stuff, and then take them to court if you want. Or you don't even really have to take them to court. You can get yourself a little attorney and put together a case and present the case, and they can present a good case. They probably settle out of court for a few hundred thousand. Universities and they're loaded. They got money. Universities are billions in assets. Billions. Oh yeah. I think Texas, University of Texas, has $10 billion in gold or something. They have all these people graduate, these rich people, and then they give them money into, what do they call that? Well, all universities have it. These trust funds and these huge endowments, right? You can imagine some place like Harvard, or you don't even want to think about it. They are loaded. And now since the one we love, gives these college loans to anybody with a pulse, colleges keep raising tuition because the kids will pay it because they're getting a loan. So they keep raising the price, the tuition, for the same nonsense they teach kids. It's terrible what's going on. And it's going to crash. It's going to all crash. You watch in the next few years. It's going to come down. Kids are going to start seeing that they can't do anything when they come out of school except go to work at Starbucks or find a place. They don't know how to do anything. Except in things like computer science and stuff. You know, they learn stuff. You know, maybe you get an MBA, would help you get in some places, but it doesn't mean you know anything, but you could use the MBA or business to, you know, learn how to do debits and credits, but you can learn that with one book. But they don't understand money. They don't understand how it works, the Fed or central banking, or they don't understand anything. They don't teach any of that stuff. You could listen to 2 or 3 years of Andrew Goss on our website, The Real World of Money, the audios, and know more than any MBA is going to teach you. I'm cereal. I'm gluten-free cereal. That. Right on OneRadioNetwork.com, look in our archives, The Real World of Money. There are 12 years of shows. Start early and just keep listening. Take notes, understand how the whole money system works. You could probably take an online MBA. I don't know what they teach in MBA. Anyway, okay, let's go back to this because this is so cool. If you'd like to be here and be square and be on, let me make sure that the 800 number is working. I always need to check because out here in the country, we just never know. I mean, they just, you know, they're so silly. They're just silly guys, you know. They're just silly. But we like our phone company, right? We love it. I don't want to speak badly about them. 888. I love your phone company. 888-663-6386. Okay. It's not working. Okay. Let me reboot it. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to play this, and then I'll reboot. Oh, I see. Anyway, so this is cool. The NASA, again, is the belly of the beast, right? If NASA falls apart, if they've been lying, then the whole thing is just a lie. I mean, it's got to be. So their whole thing in life is they landed on the moon in 1969, right? That's it. That was their big deal. So they could get pictures, alleged pictures, of Earth. That's why they did it. And make-believe rockets. You can't, the rockets don't, they don't, you know, you can't even get out of. Anyway, so just this little clip about the moon landing. This is from Eric Dubay, who's really one of the great flat earthers of all time. And this may give you a little bit more grist for the mill about NASA's credibility, if you want to believe them, right? Or maybe you don't. Here you go.
Take a second to honestly observe the following picture and tell me what this looks like to you. If you said a bunch of cardboard, construction paper, curtain rods, gold tape, and foil, you would be correct. If instead you said the National Aeronautics and Space Administration's highest technological achievement, incapable of being reproduced today, the Apollo 11 lunar lander, then you would also be correct. Most unbiased viewers would assume your average high school art class could construct this contraption without much struggle. But official NASA spokesman and astronaut Don Pettit assures us that actually, this 1969 technology is so advanced that even with their multi-billion dollar yearly budget, they cannot for the life of them recreate it now. I'd go back to the moon in a nanosecond, Don informs us. But NASA destroyed that technology, and it's a painful process to build it back again. Firstly, why on Earth would NASA destroy the original Apollo lunar landers? The historic first crafts that landed men on the moon? The supposed most incredible achievements of mankind? And they irreparably destroyed them so that they could not be replicated even after 50 years? Could it be because they didn't want future generations able to visit museums and see these laughable 1960s attempts at high-tech-looking space vehicles? And what other 1960s technology is so advanced and expensive that it cannot be recreated easily and far better now than way back then? Let's take a closer look at this 1960s spaceship and see what else we can notice. For example, look at the paneling here, on the side of the craft. If someone sheetrocked your house looking like this, you would be entitled to a full refund. Yet, with supposedly the best engineers and scientists in the world on the job, this is the kind of craftsmanship NASA provides? Look at the flimsy, haphazard, and careless construction materials and methods used. Look at the buckling, warping, and indentations showing how thin the paneling is. What is this thing? A Twinkie? No, I'm sure it's some super important and necessary high-tech device. Here, there are press stubs. And here also has press stubs. But here, and here, they must have run out, so they used gold foil instead. And then over here, they must have run out of gold foil, because they didn't bother with either. Look over here, at the evenly spaced lines of gold foil going down the legs, until you get to this point, where there is three lines right close together. It must be important because it's the connection point to the other crossbars, right? Let's look at another leg. Oh, nope. On this one, they are all evenly spaced the whole way down. No three lines near the crossbar. Apollo 11 mission controller Harold Lodin was quoted saying, "The skin on the crew cabin was very thin. And that was all done because of weight saving. If you really took your finger and poked hard at it, you could poke right through the outer skin of the spacecraft. It was about the thickness of two layers of aluminum foil." Project manager Thomas Kelly concurred, noting that the skin, the aluminum alloy skin of the crew compartment, was about 12 one-thousandths of an inch thick, equivalent to about three layers of Reynolds wrap that you would use in the kitchen. Apollo astronaut Jim Lovell said, "Whenever I saw a model of the lunar module, it had these rigid sides and looked really strong. Turns out that external portions of the lunar module are actually made up of mylar and cellophane, and it's put together with scotch tape and staples. We had to have pads on the floor, because if you dropped a screwdriver, it would go through the floor. Apollo astronaut Gus Grissom even famously hung a lemon on the lunar lander just weeks before the mission started. The dictionary describes lemon being a word used to describe things, especially automobiles, regarded as unsatisfactory, disappointing, or feeble. The lunar lander was never even once tested on Earth, landing here from any altitude before supposedly going and successfully landing on the moon. There, this pathetic cardboard and tinfoil construction allegedly fell from lunar orbit at 4,000 miles per hour, then used retrothrusters to slow it down and safely landed without a hitch on the lunar surface. When the astronauts did practice in other training vehicles, 3 out of 5 of them crashed, and you can see here how difficult they were to control, even in broad daylight, on Earth, in optimal conditions. The idea that the actual lunar lander was never once tested on Earth, but then made a perfect landing on the moon, is one small step for lying Freemasons, and one giant leap for brainwashed mankind. This is a 7,500-pound thruster. Look how powerful this is, how big, how much dust it kicks up, and the light it creates. The lunar lander's thruster was even bigger, at 10,000 pounds, and somehow didn't kick up any dust, left no blast crater under the craft, and not a grain of sand on the landing pads, as if it was gently placed down by a crane in a studio. Here we see the lunar lander redocking with the command module. This is clearly fake, and made with props, models, and footage similar to the Hollywood creations of the day, such as Stanley Kubrick's 2001 Space Odyssey, created in 1968, the year before the first supposed moon landing. Look at the jerky, unrealistic motions and lack of thrusters being used. The craft is just being turned like a Rubik's Cube somehow, all of this supposedly happening as they both orbit the moon at 4,000 miles per hour. Since many people can't believe this is genuine footage, let me assure you, this is actual, official NASA footage of the Apollo 11 redocking. And this is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to moon landing hoax evidence. If you still believe man has actually walked on the moon, and rovers are rolling around on Mars, please do me, yourself, and the rest of humanity a favor and watch my following presentation, link in the description box, The NASA Moon and Mars Landing Hoaxes.
That's he's great. It's Eric Dubé. He's going to come on someday on the show. He's just quite busy now, but we'll get him on. And it's great fun, isn't it? What a trip. This is OneRadioNetwork.com, and now the phone lines are working. We've hooked up our 888 number, so if you'd like to call us. Yeah, sometimes, you know, we just have to, I should check every show before coming on the air. So I will. I'll write myself a note. All I got to do is reboot it, and then it starts to work. It's 888-663-6386. We get quite a few emails about work, and I see your videos. And, you know, I'm going to talk to Sharon. We should put something up somewhere. Yeah, let's do that on the website. Watch all our videos on BitChute and let people know. I get emails all the time, and more of where can we see the videos. So the place to go is BitChute, and I guess you just find it now. Oops, sorry. Okay, got it again. Thanks again. Yeah, every time I play a video like that, then it turns off the audio. So our phone lines are working again. I'm back, and let's take a phone call. Good morning. Who's this?
Lynn, you don't have audio.
I know.
Again.
I got it. I got it, baby. We're
all right.
On.
All right.
Thanks. I think she glad she's watched, and Sharon too. Yeah, she called this time, man. Yeah, when we do these videos, for some reason, it turns off the audio, and I'll work on that. Anyway, we got audio. Thanks. Now, and the 800 number, as you can see, is now working. 888-663-6386. 888-663-6386. So we know it works. Thank you, Lynn. Yeah, some for some reason it does that. Anyway, I was saying the video that you watched about the moon landing thing was from Eric Dubé, and we caught up with Eric on his Facebook page, and he will come on someday, but he just can't. He just you know, he's overwhelmed right now, so he can't do it. So he'll come on soon. But we're going to do it. We have another flat earther coming on. Oh, good. I can't wait. This fellow is named Dave Murphy. Dave Murphy. And he's going to be on, I think, a week from Tuesday. Yeah, a week from Tuesday. Dave Murphy. He's got some cool stuff. He'll be great fun. Next week, we have a plethora of fun people. Richard Massey. Ray Pete. We are going to record Dr. Cowan and Kaufman Monday at 2 o'clock. Maybe we'll... Sharon, maybe we can put something up on the sticky for that. Because I want to play it back Tuesday morning, and then so people can ask questions. We'll work on that. That'll be something. But if you have a question for Dr. Kaufman and Cowan, Show Me the Virus Guys... They're going to be back on, but we couldn't get them on Tuesday live, so we're going to record it on Monday afternoon. But if you just email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com, and we'll ask them the question. But it'll be great to get some fun questions for them. My first question is going to be, I've already got it planned out, is it possible that people somewhere in some lab can do a gain of function, kind of a spooky Fauci, Wuhan, I don't know, China virus, and somehow release it in the air, and you could breathe it in, get sick, and then share it with somebody else? Is that even possible? My first question. That'll be Tuesday morning. We'll play it back. Charlie will be here on Wednesday, as we told you. And he's got a very a concise, we believe, powerful religious exemption document that you can get from us and use it for wherever you might want to use it. And then Melissa Sell. She's great. This whole idea of that we create all diseases through our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, that we get caught up in, is totally true, absolutely true. Her specialty is German New Medicine, and Dr. Hammer, who brought this out, proved it by looking at the brain and all that. So this is really key stuff, and this is why the whole germ theory thing is so important, because modern medicine is built on the germ theory. You go to the doctor and they'll just say you got something, right? Well, you got some virus or you got some bacteria. It's just not true. It's just not true. And the whole model's built on this. Cancer is just another story. They have no idea of how people get cancer. They just make it up. They just think you get it, you know. You just get it and come to us and we'll cut on your breast and see if it's malignant, and then if it is, we'll cut it off and give you chemo to kill it. I mean, it's so barbaric what's going on in the medical model of cutting up women. Guys too, but it's terrible. What's going on? They have no idea what cancer is. They just are totally in the dark. We know what causes cancer, that we create it with everything that we do, our lifestyle, what we think, what we believe, what we eat. We know it. It's no secret any longer. Now, the Mayo Clinic, are they going to come around to that? Probably not. Is NASA ever going to come out and say, you know what? But Buzz Aldrin just said that it was make-believe on Conan O'Brien. But do you think they're ever going to come out and say, you know what, we just, you know, the moon thing, it never happened. I'm sorry. You know, then people would start questioning rockets, which don't exist the way they say they do, or Hubble, which doesn't exist. I don't think it's even out there. I don't think they think, well, there's no space. So, you know, if they got Hubble under the firmament, it's up on a balloon, and because you don't circle the Earth, you just can't. So maybe it's up there on a balloon somewhere, but if it is, well, why don't they just, maybe that's why they don't show a picture of the round Earth, because you can't get high enough under the firmament to look at the Earth. Who knows how big it is? It could go out for 3,000 miles on the other. Who knows? Maybe that's where the term ETs come from, extraterrestrial. Maybe there's people on the other side of this huge ice thing that they have a whole other culture, or maybe they're in a different reality spiritually, or maybe they have technologies that they can fly around, and those are UFOs. Some people like Bonacci and others say that the ETs are actually living under the Earth, and they can't get out because they're fallen angels. That's kind of a great story. They're fallen angels, right, and they can't get out, so they're trying to figure out a way how to blast through the firmament to get the hell out of here. Because, you know, they're just... Now, there is quite a bit of evidence, and this kind of is a disconnect for me, because I don't really think they have all the nuclear weapons, Russia and China and North Korea. I think the whole North Korea thing is totally made up. I don't even know if this guy exists. He could be some hologram guy with a funny haircut, because there's just one other spooky, you know. But anyway, but there's quite a bit of evidence that back in the 50s, when all this whole NASA thing was starting, and they start to understand that the Antarctica thing was really, you know, the center of the universe kind of thing, that the globalists wanted to bust through the firmament and to see what's out there, right? And they were sending up nuclear, and this was back in 58, 59, 60, and it happened a lot of places out in the South Pacific about 5 years before I went to the South Pacific. But I didn't get radiated, so I don't know what it was. I mean, I'm crazy, but I didn't get all radiated. But they were out there, Bikini Island and different places, and they were trying to shoot up and bust through the firmament. Never happened. They couldn't do it. Whatever